This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. I want you to open up to Acts chapter 1 today. Acts chapter 1, and we're beginning a new study called The Power of the Spirit. But it's really the same study that we've been on. Actually, this is week number 17 that we've been focusing on the Holy Spirit. But we're beginning this third part of this whole overriding series on the Holy Spirit called The Power of the Spirit. We talked about being filled with the Spirit. We talked about being led by the Spirit. And how many of you know we didn't exhaust either one of those topics? And now we're going into the power of the Spirit. And I'll just tell you up front, we won't exhaust this topic, but we will get some things done and some things understood. And I believe that by the time we get done with this third part, the power of the Spirit, that you will be functioning in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Spirit will be flowing through your life on a regular basis. Why is that? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. If you hear about it, it produces faith in your heart to begin to act and to receive and to flow, so that before you know it, you'll understand more about this and how you're not disqualified because you're not good enough. You know how we disqualify ourselves in our minds? All of us do that. But you're not disqualified. So I believe by the end of this, we'll all be flowing in the power of the Spirit. Now, Acts chapter 1, I'm going to begin reading at the 4th verse, but I want you to join me when we get to the 8th verse. I'm reading from the New King James, so if you don't have that particular translation, that's okay. But when we get to verse 8, look up on the screen and follow on PowerPoint so that we can all read the same words. All right, let me read starting from the 4th verse of Acts chapter 1. It says, "And being assembled together with them, he, Jesus, commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. For John," that's John the Baptist, "truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." Let's all read. "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Notice he says, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Somebody tell me when you receive power. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, I want to set this up, and I want to show you what the Holy Spirit led me to do today and to talk about today in beginning this series called The Power of the Spirit. This is the day that Jesus left the earth physically. This is his last day on the earth, and he's already been raised from the dead. At this point, it was about 40 days before that he was raised from the dead. Crucified and then raised from the dead. He's been hanging around. Verse 3 of Acts 1 says that he hung around for 40 years and gave testimony and witness to people, validated that he was raised from the dead. And I believe in another place it says about 500 people saw him after he was raised from the dead on the earth. And here, this group of people was with him on the Mount of Olives. And he tells them, here's what I want you to do. I want you not to just go back wherever you live to whatever city you live in. I want you to wait in Jerusalem. Now, the Mount of Olives is right there at Jerusalem. In fact, there's just, you know, the Mount of Olives is a hill. We would call it a hill. You know, it's called the Mount of Olives, but to us, it's a hill. I've walked up the thing, you know, and down the thing, and, you know, you can walk up it in about 5 minutes. So that's not really a mountain by our standards, but it's called the Mount of Olives. You walk down into the valley and then right up another mountain, which is the Temple Mount. Right there, you're just looking at, you look from the Temple Mount to the Mount of Olives and the Mount of Olives to the Temple Mount where the temple happened, and just adjacent to that is where Jesus was crucified. It's all right there in that same region. And so he's on the Mount of Olives and he says, stay in Jerusalem. That means right here, not on the Mount of Olives, just right across the valley. Just stay here in this town. And he says, I'm commanding you to wait for the promise of the Father, because John the Baptist baptized with water, but not many days from now, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm commanding you to wait. And we get to verse 8, and he says, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Power, the word dunamis. We get our word dynamite derived from that. dunamis, power. You will receive power, but here's when it's going to happen. Not when you believe in me, because he's talking to people that already believe in Jesus. Is that right? They wouldn't have gone out to the Mount of Olives and are standing there talking to him in the middle of the day, taking off a work or whatever, had they not believed in him enough to come and hang out with him. And so he's out there and he says, I'm commanding you not to go back to regular life yet, but to wait right here in Jerusalem until the promise of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, because when that happens, it'll also bring power, and then you'll be my witnesses into all the earth. Let me tell you the significance of this. What Jesus is clearly saying, and not just in this passage, but in many others that validate this same point, and that is that Jesus never ever intended for people to become Christians and get forgiven from their sins and to go out and tell a story, but to not have any of the resident power of the Holy Spirit to validate the story that they're telling. The ministry of Jesus was a ministry that wasn't only talking and coming and talking good news. The ministry of Jesus was preaching and sharing the good news about God and the kingdom of God, but then validating that by touching people, laying hands on those who believed and would come, and seeing healings and deliverances, prophetic words being given, words of knowledge, and so on. This is the ministry of Jesus. We all know that. His ministry is marked by the healing and the miracles that happened. Before the healing and the miracles, he would generally teach and preach. But then the teaching and the preaching and the story that he told was validated by the power of God coming and doing exactly what he preached would happen. Here Jesus is handing the baton off to his followers and saying, listen, I'm leaving you to do my ministry. In fact, the book of Acts begins by saying this is all that Jesus began to do and teach. And so it's our responsibility as Christians to carry that out. But Jesus knew without the power of the Spirit working in us, all we've got is a story. All we've got is an opinion. Do you understand? How many of you know there are lots of opinions out there? In our day and age, there are opinions and religions and philosophies everywhere. So when you come up and tell somebody your opinion, they think, cool, that works for you, that's great. How do they know the difference between the real God and all of the other philosophies? The real God in the ministry of Jesus was marked by this. There was a validity or a validation of the message by signs and wonders, the power happening. And Jesus would always say that we, his followers, were to walk in the same power that he walked in. Isn't that right? John 14:12 is where he said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do because I go to my Father. Meaning, in the whole context of those chapters there, he had told them, if I don't go to the Father, then the Holy Spirit won't be sent. But if I go to him, I'll send him to you. And so what Jesus said is, you're going to carry on my ministry. I'm leaving, but I expect the ministry to be carried on, not just in words, but in actions, in power. And so Jesus is telling them, even though you believe in me, you're standing here, we're talking and such, don't dare leave and go out. You know, we know the scripture, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. We also know Matthew 28, where Jesus said, go make disciples of all nations. These are all the same. This is all happening the same day. Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke 24, Acts chapter 1. It's all the same day. It's the last day that Jesus was here, and it's the same message, and they capture different parts of what he said. And so many, many churches and ministries focus on go into all the world and preach the gospel, and focus on go make disciples, but they don't say the precursor to what Jesus said to do. Don't do it until you wait and get the power of the Spirit and then go do it. Because I don't just want you to tell them about the kingdom of God, I want you to show them. Don't just tell them about my power, I want you to show them my power. And so, as I was preparing to talk about the power of the Spirit and to teach and to begin to clarify what it means in the power of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit directed me that we needed to talk about this and touch base on this. Even though we've already gone through a whole study called Be Filled with the Spirit, he said, and he impressed me, it wasn't a spoken thing, but I knew as I was studying it that he was saying, the power of the Spirit starts with receiving. It starts with receiving. There's no need for us to spend time talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, miracles, gifts of healings, and all of those things. There's no need to talk about that with people that haven't done what Jesus said to do, wait and receive the promise of the Holy Spirit in the fullness and the power. All it will do is it'll bring knowledge to your head. Now I know what a word of wisdom is. I know what a word of knowledge is. I know what all these things. I know what tongues is. I know what interpretation is. But it doesn't flow in your life. So all it does is discourage us in the long run, and it makes us feel like we're some kind of a less than. We're some kind of an outcast, a marginal, sidelined part of the body of Christ. And that's not God's will. So the Holy Spirit made me aware there's no need to start clarifying these things yet until we clarify right at the beginning. The power of the Spirit in your life begins with you receiving the fullness of the Spirit. No need to go on and trying to manifest something of power if you haven't yet received the fullness of the Spirit yet. Now, in talking about the power of the Spirit, it's such a broad subject. There are so many things that the Holy Spirit does. Like, for example, His activity in creation. Genesis chapter 1, it says, the earth was without form and void, darkness was there. But verse 3 says, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. Remember that? He was from the very beginning. God said, let there be light, and the Holy Spirit brought that light into existence. His power has been from Genesis chapter 1, and it flows all the way through. There are so many parts to it. And here are some things that the Bible talks about. He has a part in creation. He searches the deep things of God. He reveals these things to us. He teaches us. He witnesses to us. He intercedes. He guides us into all truth. He convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He brings about the spiritual birth. How many of you know in John 3, verse 6, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, but that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings you from death to life when you confess Jesus as Lord. It's a spiritual birth. Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit as being the power by which He cast out demons. The Bible talks about the giving of spiritual gifts, Holy Spirit gifts, through believers to people. And the Bible talks about the fact that when the Holy Spirit is present in your life, that fruit is manifested, such as love, joy, peace. And these are just some of the things that are part of the workings and power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit as a broad subject would be everything the Holy Spirit has ever done, is doing, will ever do, and can do. But we can't talk about all that in just a number of weeks with a short amount of time. So let me tell you what I believe the Lord wants us to focus on, and that is the power of the Spirit working through us. The power of the Spirit. We know the Holy Spirit does a whole lot of things, and those are all worthy subjects to study. But right now, what the Lord wants us to focus on is how do we allow the power of the Spirit to work in our lives and through our lives to touch other people? I don't think there's a genuine Christian alive that wouldn't say, you know, I want God to use me. I want God to work through me. I want to touch people's lives. But I don't think there's a genuine Christian alive that would say that in and of themselves they're worthy of that. Because we're not. We're not worthy of that. But how many of you know this is not earned? It's purchased by the blood of Jesus. It's a free gift from Him. And we receive it by faith and therefore are validated by His righteousness to be used by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Now, so here Jesus says, I want you to wait. Don't you leave Jerusalem. Now let me tell you the time frame here. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come. Let me tell you what that means. In the Jewish life, there were three main feasts, festivals that they would come to Jerusalem for every year. The second of the three is Pentecost. And the first, obviously, is the whole Passover time, a feast of unleavened bread. Well, Pentecost means 50th. Pentecost, the day of Pentecost here, means the 50th day after the Passover Sabbath. Sabbath meaning on Saturday. So whenever Passover was a date, not a day. And so whenever Passover would happen, it would go for that 7-day period. And in that 7 days would be a Sabbath. You would start from the Sabbath of Passover and you would count 50 days and that would be Pentecost. And that would be a different celebration that would happen. Now, the scripture here in Acts 1:3 says that after the resurrection of Jesus, He appeared for 40 days. So think about how this works. On the Sabbath, on Passover Sabbath, which happened right there in between the time that Jesus died and he was raised from the dead. It was on a Saturday. Jesus was raised from the dead the next day after that. So 49 days after Jesus was raised from the dead is Pentecost. Okay, is everybody tracking with me? If you're not, don't worry about it. This is a detail, but just to give you a time frame. So Jesus appears to them for 40 days, and so 40 days after he was raised from the dead, he's having this conversation with them, and he's going to go up to heaven. And he tells them, not many days from now, and let me get very specific, about nine days. He doesn't say that, he just says not many. How many of you know sometimes the Lord doesn't tell you exactly when? He just says soon. And how many of you know to the Lord, soon is different than it is to us? Isn't that right? We just read in 2 Peter that to the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day, and a day is like 1,000 years. So if the Lord says, wait a day, you know, that could be a long time the way that he thinks, right? I understand. Now, I'm not saying he would deceive you like that, but I'm just saying that he just thinks differently. But Jesus says, not many days from now, the Holy Spirit will come. I want you not to go back to your regular lifestyle. Don't go back to your responsibilities. Don't get caught up in natural things. I want you to stay right here in Jerusalem and wait until the power of the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then when the power of the Spirit, then you'll be a witness to me. Because now you're not only telling them about a story and letting your little light shine, but you have the same resident Holy Spirit power in you to validate that message so that my ministry is perpetuated. So, notice here, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, 9 days after they had talked, or right about there, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. How many were filled? Everybody. Everybody. You need to know that's an important point. Everybody was filled with the Holy Spirit. All. Being a Spirit-filled Christian is for every Christian. It's not a pick-and-choose thing. And a lot of people will opt themselves out of these things that Jesus has discussed by just saying, you know, I think I'm going to go to this other church. And they won't say why, but in their heart of hearts, they don't talk about all that stuff. You know, you can just be a Christian and serve Jesus, and that's it. You don't have to get into all that stuff. But let me just tell you, if you don't get into all the stuff that Jesus talked about, you're not really serving Jesus completely. Because if Jesus commanded these things in our lives, then full obedience, once you're aware of the commandment, full obedience is to open your heart up for the Lord to do that work in you so that he can work through you. That's full obedience. Let me just take a minute to say this. You'll notice if you're around here any length of time that we intentionally, by the direction of the Lord, are not critical of other ministries. That's not my job to judge. I'm not the judge. The Lord Jesus is the judge. Did you know that? I'm not the judge. And any ministry that is leading people closer to the Lord Jesus, I like them. You understand? Even if we don't agree on all doctrinal issues, I like them. I appreciate what they're doing and I validate what they're doing. You may even hear me talk positive about these different ministers and such, even though on some of these sub-points, there's a disagreement. I'm going to talk positive because the overriding primary result is that people are coming to the Lord Jesus. And thank God for it. And I believe God appreciates it and that God validates their ministry. Thank God. But right on the other hand, there comes sometimes, some occasions, where we need to clarify a difference in doctrine for the sake of the truth. For the sake of the integrity of what has been handed to us in this word. Because just because somebody has a valid ministry on one point does not mean that the fullness of the life of Jesus and the intention and purpose of Jesus in the lives of those people that are part of that ministry is happening. And many times it's not happening because it's never discussed. Or it's glossed over when you get to those passages. You just kind of breeze over it as if that was kind of what they did back then and we don't really understand all of that. Hey, let's just serve Jesus. And that's kind of said sometimes. Sometimes people would even say, you know what? you know, people get off into this and that and the other. How many of you know we're just going to love the Lord? And it sounds so good. And people will say, amen, that's right. We're just going to love the Lord. Let's just stay focused on Jesus. Hallelujah. And we're going to serve him. And we're just not going to get caught up in all that. And it sounds as if everything else, aside from just receiving forgiveness of sins from Jesus and his blood and eternal home in heaven, everything else is kind of marginal. And it's just an option. It's a benefit, but it's not mandatory. It's nothing that Jesus says you must do. And I want to tell you, that's a misrepresentation of the gospel. That's not right. That's not right. And I'm not saying that anybody out there does that intentionally, knowing the truth and withholding that. I'm not saying that whatsoever. In fact, I believe if anybody doesn't relay these things and help the body of Christ understand not only the potential of being filled and moving in the power of the Spirit, but that it is a sure promise of God that he will do it through you if you'll open your life to it. I don't believe that just because somebody doesn't speak these things that they're withholding something that they know. I don't assume that. My assumption is they just don't all see this part, just like we don't all see some other parts that they probably see. Is that true? See, so I'm not in any way getting on a high horse and looking down my nose at other ministers who don't understand these things nor teach these things or would teach them to a limited effect. Oh, yes, God does that in some people's lives because they just don't have the revelation. But once the revelation hits you and you understand, you realize, how could we not participate in this salvation that Jesus has not only provided but commanded us and said, I need your help on the earth to carry out my ministry. And my ministry cannot be carried out with just a story. His ministry was not just a story, and therefore it cannot be perpetuated by just a story. We need the same resident Holy Spirit in all of his power in there. And it starts with what Jesus said here. Wait and stop and don't move forward with your Christianity until you receive the power of the Spirit. And then you are validated and then you are empowered and enabled to move the way that I want you to. Now, if anybody gets hung up on doctrinal things and intellectually you cut yourself off from all of these things that Jesus has provided, you need to know you're doing it by choice. Because the Word of God is very clear that this is for us today. And it's what Jesus started the church with. This is for us, and he needs our help. I don't know about you, but I want to help Jesus, don't you? And I don't think I'm functioning at the full potential and power of the Holy Spirit. In fact, I know I'm not. And I'm seeking the Lord. God, help me to go to a higher level. Help me to do that. But I encourage you, don't opt out of these things by just saying, you know, I think I like that church over there, knowing in your heart that church over there just kind of doesn't mention these things so much. Thank God for that church over there and all that they're doing. We bless them. We pray for them. We believe that God's doing a great work. But the Lord is calling the body of Christ, I believe the whole body of Christ, to opening the door. We live in an evil generation, and it's getting more and more evil all the time, and people don't know which way is God. And how do they know that this philosophy and this opinion that we're sharing with them is not just an opinion, but it's God? Except for the validation of the Holy Spirit with the power of the Spirit. But I tell you what, when you look at somebody and you're sharing the love of Jesus with them and you say, you know what, in my spirit, I know that this is going on in your life. Is that right? Is that going on? Yes, it is. All of a sudden, they know this is not just your opinion. You understand what I'm talking about? This is the power of the Holy Spirit, but it starts with receiving the Holy Spirit. It starts with opening your life. There's no sense in talking about the manifestations, how they all work, if we have not received the fullness of the Spirit yet and are not in a pattern of receiving the charge, the recharge, continually. Now, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all began to speak in tongues, all of them. Some people would tell you that not everybody can do that. It's not true. Some people would get this confused with the gift of tongues, which needs to be interpreted. You'll notice there was no interpretation happening. In fact, supernaturally, there were certain people there from other countries that heard their own language. But listen, not everybody that heard the tongues that were around there heard every person speaking their language. Just some of them were speaking from maybe the Parthians, and some were speaking from this other people from Mesopotamia and their language, and some were speaking something else. But there were lots of tongues going on that were never interpreted, because you know what? This wasn't the gift of tongues that needed to be interpreted. This is just the power of the Holy Spirit giving these people the enablement of the Spirit to pray and to praise God. These are not words from God to the people. In fact, if you read down, it says that all of these people that had gathered around to see this event, they heard them speaking in their own language. Various people would speak in their language. And it says they heard them speak the wonderful words, works of God. That was praise to God, blessing to God, from their spirit up to God. It was not a word from God down to the people that needed to be interpreted. That's the gift of tongues, and that's talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and all the way in chapter 14. And it clarifies that, and we discussed that to some extent, that there's a difference between being filled with the Spirit and having a prayer language to God and the gift of tongues that's to be used in church that needs to be interpreted. And a lot of people will just put it all in the same category and says, do all speak with tongues? The obvious answer is no, and therefore there you go. Not everybody does. And not everybody should. But it's a misunderstanding of Scripture. You'll see here, Jesus said, you go wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. They all waited, they all received, and they all spoke in tongues. Why? Because the initial power in this passage of the Holy Spirit, we're talking about the power of the Spirit. The first power of the Spirit was evident in them speaking in a language that they'd never learned before. Is that right? Is that what your Bible says? The very first, and they all did it. It wasn't some did it over here and other people prophesied and other people had a word of knowledge. No, they all did it. Is that true? They all did it. Everybody the same. And let me tell you something. These were not the manifestations of the Spirit spoken of in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That wasn't happening yet. This was just being filled with the Holy Spirit and receiving the enablement of your spirit connecting with God's Spirit. And it's a powerful thing. But it is a foundation and a basis to how you continually be filled with the Spirit and charge up your battery. Now, let me tell you what happens here. I already gave you a little bit of a rundown of verses 5 through 13. Look at verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. Listen to what Peter says. Now, he's talking to Jews. These Jews had gathered for Pentecost from all different regions and nations. They'd come to Jerusalem, and this event happens that Jesus told them would happen 9 days after Jesus left. This event happens. They're filled with the Holy Spirit, the sound of a rushing mighty wind. People are speaking in tongues. This crowd of Jews from everywhere come together, and they hear different people speaking their own language supernaturally by the Holy Spirit. And Peter stands up and says, you know what? It may appear to you like they're drunk. There must have been something going on more than just language. Maybe something was happening with them to where they just didn't look like they were in tune. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You ever seen somebody drunk? They're just kind of, I don't know that they were slurring their words, but something to some of those people made it appear like these people were drunk. And Peter stood up and said, listen, they're not drunk. And he's talking to Jews who all had the scriptures of what we would call the Old Testament. And he said, listen, this is what Joel the prophet was talking about. He tells these Jews, you've read Joel. We've all read Joel. You remember what Joel said would happen in the last days? This is it. This is exactly what's happened today is what Joel prophesied to us would happen. Now here are Jews. They know what Joel says. And so Peter begins to quote from the book of Joel in what we would call the Old Testament. To them, they would just call it the Scriptures. Verse 17, he says, or Joel said, and it shall come to pass in the last days, says God. How many of you believe if it was the last days, this day that Peter was talking, it's at least the last days today? Is that right? If that was the last days, these are the last of the last days, right? Because this was a couple of thousand years ago. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Well, we just received Jesus. But God prophesied that in the last days, he would pour out his spirit on his people. It would be different than just the king and the priest and the prophet being anointed of the Spirit. God says, I want all my children to be anointed with the Spirit. I want them all to function with a power beyond themselves. And it was prophesied here in the book of Joel as well as other places. Shall come to pass in the last day, says God, that I will pour out of my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Now this is one of the manifestations of the Spirit, prophecy. But notice he says, your sons and your daughters will do it. Even your young children will prophesy. What is he saying? This is not a maturity thing. This is not a, I've been in the faith now 20 years. Now I'm ready to start doing a couple of things. No, he's saying this is by the grace of God to all who open up and the Spirit comes on them. Even the sons and the daughters will, by the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, operate in the power of God toward other people. That's God's will. Isn't it good to know that you don't have to pass a maturity test for God to use you? Isn't that good? How many of you know that donkey that spoke by the direction of the Lord didn't pass any maturity test? I imagine he was pretty stubborn being a donkey. Isn't that right? Look at your neighbor and say, there's hope for you. Come on, tell him. There's hope for you. Let's pick it up in the middle of verse 17. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. Prophesying is when God speaks words through you. And when it pierces somebody's heart, they know that was God talking. That wasn't just this person. Man, that shed light on some darkness in me. Or that brought hope to an area of hopelessness in my life. And they know God just spoke to me. That's prophecy when God says something. Now let's skip down here to verse 22. Let's go to 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. And now he goes on talking about how God prophesied that he was raised, that he would raise Jesus from the dead. Skip down to verse 32. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Now I want you to pay very close attention to verse 33. I have never seen quite what I've seen since the Holy Spirit underlined this for me just days ago. Listen to this. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God. Somebody tell me who we're talking about. As Jesus. The previous verse says, Jesus, God raised up. Therefore, Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. He. Who's he? That's Jesus. Now listen to what this says. This is so powerful. It says, Jesus, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit. And let me ask you something. I know that we all have received the Holy Spirit. But who does it say in this verse received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father? Now you think about this. Why did the Father promise Jesus to give us the Holy Spirit? So you need to understand what's going on here. Our lives are a big deal to Jesus. He came to earth and he died, but while he was here, he began a ministry called the Ministry of Jesus Christ. And that ministry consisted of preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God and bringing the validation of miracles and signs and wonders, the power of God to the earth. And he knew this, that he would only be here for a limited amount of time, and he was going to hand the baton to those of his followers. He also knew that without the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, we've just got a rumor going around that'll be taken or left by people about this Jesus and so on. And some people say, oh yeah, he's a prophet, or oh yeah, you know, I think he was real, but he wasn't the Son of God. And all these opinions are flying around. And Jesus knew that what people needed was not just a story, but they needed a valid demonstration. Paul said, I don't come to you with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Didn't he say that? See, that this is what the Bible, the New Testament, is talking about. Jesus is very desperate for his church to receive the fullness of the Spirit and to replicate his life, not only in word, but in power in the lives of other people. And so here when it says that the Father promised Jesus, I won't let you, I'm going to raise you back up and seat you at my right hand, but I'm not going to leave your ministry to die on the earth with just a bunch of people that'll be called liars because they said you were raised from the dead. But I'm going to give the same power, the same Holy Spirit that empowered you when you were on the earth to all of your followers who believe and would receive, so that they can keep your ministry going, and it'll even go further than what you had. This was a promise from Father God to his Son Jesus, to say, I won't let your ministry die. Are you catching this? I had never seen this in this verse before until the Holy Spirit highlighted to me. The promise was between the Father and the Son that He would give us the Holy Spirit so that His ministry would not die in the earth. Because how many know Jesus died for the whole world? But they don't believe. Part of the reason they don't believe is because we don't show them the reality of Jesus. We think it's enough just to have salvation and forgiveness of sins. And you know, if the world believes, well, okay. If they don't, at least I got mine. And neither do we feel enabled or competent to show them for sure that He's real. Because we don't have the enablement of the Holy Spirit or don't have confidence in that enablement. And Father promised Jesus, I promise you, if you'll do what I tell you to do and walk this out, I will pour my Spirit out on all flesh. And anybody that opens their heart to receive, I'll begin to use them with the same power that you were empowered with. So notice what Peter says. Verse 33. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He poured out this which you now see and hear. Peter said, let me tell you something. Father promised Jesus that He would pour this out. But he said, let me tell you, when Jesus went to sit back at the right hand of God, it was actually Jesus in the fulfillment of the promise from the Father that poured out what you're seeing and experiencing right now. So see, anybody that says, you know what, I'm just going to stick with Jesus. I'm just going to love Jesus. You're going to love Jesus? Let me tell you how to love Jesus. Follow Him. Do what He did. He poured out the Holy Spirit in these last days because it was promised to Him. And He needs you to receive of the Holy Spirit and to begin to move in His power. How many, 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 many Christians, what a large percentage of Christians feel like this is some kind of an option. It's not an option. Jesus never said, and by the way, if you want something really cool, at no extra charge, I'll throw in the Holy Spirit and His power, and you can do some things. No, this was just a part of living for Jesus, caring about His ministry being perpetuated in the earth to say, I will wait. And see, it was a sacrifice. He was saying, don't leave Jerusalem. Take time. Take time out of your busy schedule. Don't leave with just the story. Take time. Seek Him. Pray, wait for Him until He comes, because then you'll have the power to go and to carry on my ministry at the level that it was begun. Are you seeing this? So don't get caught into, I don't believe it's an intentional lie, but nevertheless, I believe it's a lie. I don't think this lie was inspired by certain preachers of certain denominations. I think it's a withholding of truth by the enemy, the adversary, that 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says he blinds the minds of certain people and they cannot see it. But all you got to do is read through the Gospels and then read the book of Acts, and you'll see that the same power that was happening in the Gospels is happening in the book of Acts, and not one place does it say that God wants us to stop. All through the book of Acts, these people preach that the Holy Spirit is to be part of our lives. And Jesus preached it, and this was His hope, that we would all function like Him and not discount ourselves because of sin, but receive the cleansing of His blood and just by faith step up and say, God can even use me because of the blood of Jesus. And receive the fullness of the Spirit and begin to walk in these manifestations of His power. Now, you're right there in Acts chapter 2. Come down a little bit further to verse 37. Now when they, the crowd, heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter. Let me tell you why they were cut to the heart. See, the power of the Spirit is not just for miracles and healings and such. The power of the Holy Spirit in your life does something to the message that you preach. Here, you'll know what I mean. How many of you know you can listen to somebody teaching the Word of God, opening their Bible, preaching the Gospel, teaching the Word, and they may have many degrees behind their name, very highly educated, very intellectual. Their presentation is polished and superb, and it just comes across so well. And you think, you walk away, hey, that was good. That was good. Wasn't that interesting what he said? That was kind of neat, this and that and the other. But then you'll hear somebody else that may not have any biblical, theological education whatsoever. But they're anointed and empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they may bring just one word or one verse out and show you something by revelation of the Holy Spirit, and it pierces your soul and fillets you on the inside. And you know God spoke to you that day. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? You've got to be very careful that you don't follow education and degrees and intellect. Not that that discounts the power of God, but so many times we have a tendency to rely on those things. The anointing of the Spirit is not just for healings and miracles. The anointing of the Spirit is also so that when you let your little light shine and share the gospel with somebody in its simplicity, that there's an anointing on it that causes a flaying of the soul and the spirit and opens somebody up to where all of a sudden, I remember there was a guy, and I met him because his kids, one of his girls started coming to the church, and we began to reach out, and God began to touch her life. And so I went over to visit their family. Because she'd visited, I went over to visit the family, and I met the mom and dad and everything. They went kind of looking at me as a youth pastor. Who's this guy? You know, I was dressed in coat and tie, and I was presenting myself well. And that family was messed up. I'm telling you, they were just messed up badly. The dad had been in and out of prison. Mean, mean guy. Killed some folks. He's just one of those guys, nobody messes with him. He'll take you out. And he went to prison over that. And got, you know, you get hardened in prison, too. That's just the way he was. Didn't have a job. And his wife would say, honey, the rent's due. Okay, I'll be back. He'd come back at the end of the day with the money. And nobody asked any questions. No job. You listen to what I'm talking about? This is a bad dude. But stuff started going wrong in his life, and he comes knocking on my office door. And I know a little bit about this guy. And I'm thinking, I want to be nice to this guy. And he sat there across the desk, and I said, let me tell you something. And in about a minute and a half, I shared with him the simple gospel of Jesus. In my mind, I was saying, this guy has heard this, all the prison preachers, all that stuff, and this guy broke. It pierced his soul so deeply. His life radically changed. Within a few years, he was an elder in our church. The sweetest, most loving, humble guy. This is a guy that would drive down. He used to drive a truck sometimes. He'd drive a truck, and if you made him mad, he'd signal you to pull over. You know, pull over, pull over, because he's going to take you out. And if you didn't pull over, he kept a crate of Coke bottles there. He would drive right up next to you, and he'd throw Coke bottles on your hood until you pulled over. He's going to make you mad enough to pull over, because that's what he wants. Then he's going to take you out. I'm telling you, I know some things about stuff that he's done I can't talk about. But listen, I'm talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. There's something different about the message of the gospel. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's an anointing on it that pierces the soul. This guy was taken out of sin by this simple story. I'm telling you, the anointing of the Spirit is different. The anointing of the Spirit is different. Thank God. And that's why you'll go into some places, and some people don't like to go to churches where they get filleted all the time. I'm going to this other church because it's big, and they're talking, you know, and they're talking from the Bible, so it's just Jesus, thank God, and I'm cool. But I go to this other church, and man, my soul gets filleted every week. And I know God knows who I am. He's dealing with me about stuff. That's where you want to stay. Are you listening to me? That's where you want to stay. Because he's trying to raise you up to another level and not leave you where you are. So, verse 37, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. There it is. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent, let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. The promise is to you and everybody, all of us. It's to everybody. Everybody. What promise? The promise that you're looking at today, we were all filled with the Spirit, we're all speaking in other tongues, this is for everybody. But the first thing you need to do is come to Jesus. But then notice, there's no need for you to wait till you mature and grow up. Open your life to receive the Holy Spirit, because the promise is to you too. Yes. What promise? What you're seeing. It was very evident. They're all in this same conversation, within this same... This all happened, obviously, within minutes. This sermon that he got, he didn't even get through very much of it. They just spoke up and said, well, what do we do? And well, here's what to do. It's all happening in minutes here. Now, I'm contemplating which way the Holy Spirit wants me to go here. Because there are several things, but I know I'm not going to get to all these things. Thank God. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to remind you of what Ephesians 5:18 says, 18 through 20. Because we studied this some weeks ago. Those of you that weren't here, I'll give you a little recap. In Ephesians 5:18, Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on to say, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always to the Father for all things. Now, don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. The verb be filled there is in the present passive imperative. It's the present tense, the passive voice, and the imperative mood. And here's what that means. I'm doing a little recap here, but it's very important. Present tense means it's not a one-time occurrence that it just happens and that now it's over. Now you're filled. And I used to understand it that way because I was taught that way, that when you get Spirit-filled, that's it. It's a one-time occurrence. Now you're Spirit-filled forever. You're a Spirit-filled Christian. But now I realize that this says being filled. See, in the present tense, it's not something that happens. It's something that is happening. And he's saying, be being filled with the Spirit. He's talking to Spirit-filled Christians and telling them to be filled or continue to be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? That means there's something that you can do to continue filling up. How many of you have noticed, if you drive a car, that you can fill that gas tank, but it doesn't stay that way? You ever notice that? That dumb thing, they just don't make cars right. I mean, yeah, I just filled the thing up days ago. And now it's practically empty. What's going on? You use it. You draw off of it. And so Paul says here, be filled with the Spirit. Now that is in the present tense, so it means be being filled. Well, it's in the passive voice, which means you're not filling yourself. It's happening to you. But it's in the imperative mood, which means this is a command. This is not a suggestion. This is not telling Christians, you know what, and if you'd like to, be filled with the Spirit. Otherwise, just love Jesus. That's the main thing. Just love Him. No. What Paul says and what the Scripture says, yeah, you love Jesus, then obey Him. And be filled with the Spirit so that you can be used by God at the level that is designed. Let me tell you, let's be honest. If we're not filled with the Spirit and not moving at the power of the Spirit, lives are going to go to hell more than they are now. Let's be honest. People that should be healed won't be healed. Marriages that should not fall apart will fall apart. Children that should not go astray will go astray. Let's just be honest. We're talking about real lives being injured and hurt. And in many cases, eternally. See, this is not just something where I like that church or I like this church. No, this is life and death. And we have the opportunity, the privilege of receiving the life of Jesus in the power of the Holy Spirit and helping Him to pull people right out of the flames of hell, to pull marriages right out from destruction and divorce, to pull children right out of rebellion. How do we do that? By the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power. I'm going to tell you some stories about youth and how youth moved by the power of the Holy Spirit and helped other youth that were bound to get free by manifestation of the Spirit. But I'm talking about Spirit-filled youth. I'm not talking about little kids in youth group that just go do the youth group thing. I'm talking about young people that received the fullness of the Spirit and understood that God uses them. Sons and daughters prophesying stuff. See, that's a reality. It's real. So he says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a command to be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And he tells us how to do that. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, pneumatikos songs. The Greek word pneuma, pneumatikos, songs, spiritual songs. Clearly talking about songs in the Spirit, songs with your heavenly language, because Jude points out in Jude 1:20 that when you speak or sing in the Spirit, in tongues, it charges your own battery back up. It fills your own tank back up because you're letting the Holy Spirit flow through you, and there's a refilling that happens. And when you get full and you continue to fill, how many of you know in your gas tank, there's a way to tell if you're full, even if you don't see the gauge go up? Right? Even if the nozzle doesn't have that automatic shut off, there's a way to tell if it's full. How is it? Just keep filling it. You'll know. Isn't that right? It overflows, and it generally comes out of the mouth. Is that right? Right? It kicks back out of the mouth. Is that true? That's exactly what happened in the book of Acts. They got filled with the Holy Spirit, and first thing that happened is out of their mouth started happening, coming something of the Holy Spirit. See, this is being filled with the Holy Spirit. But Peter said, Joel prophesied, it's not just going to be this, it's going to be prophecy and other things that are going to happen as well. Thank God. We need them all. But it's a command to be filled with the Spirit, and it's not just a command to people that are not quote-unquote Spirit-filled, but it's a command to all of us to continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. I believe with all of my heart that by the end of this time, that we as a church will be functioning by the power of the Spirit. I'm not looking for anybody to start doing anything beyond what they believe God for. But I believe that you'll realize how simple it is to allow the Holy Spirit to operate through you. And you realize, it's not me, but yet it is you by His power. I believe you'll realize. I believe if you'll open your heart up, you won't discount yourself. But you'll open yourself up and say, Lord, I want to move by your power, but it starts with me receiving you. And some of you need to receive to the point that it begins to kick back out of your mouth and the Holy Spirit begins to speak through you and flow through you so that you can charge yourself up and begin to see the other manifestations of the Spirit flow in your life. I believe that this is where we begin. I believe this is what the Lord is saying. Some of you, you have spoken in tongues before, and on occasion you do it. And yet, the Lord is encouraging you to do it more often and to build yourself up. On July 28th, which was just about 4 days ago, when I first woke up in the morning, the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and He said, you must be filled with the Spirit. Now, He's talking to a Spirit-filled guy here, just like Ephesians is. But He said, you must be filled with the Spirit. And He said a few other things, and I knew the idea that He was saying is, I've got to have singing going on in my life. I've got to be singing these spiritual songs and making melody in my heart and praising God so that I'm rejuvenated in the Spirit. I knew that's what He was saying to me. The reason is that if I'm not rejuvenating myself and being filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, I will miss opportunities for that power to manifest. I will miss it. It was in about 1990 that my wife and I were ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden, I got this sense from the Holy Spirit that there's something not right with my dad. See, it's important to be filled with the Spirit, because otherwise you don't have these manifestations going on. But I knew it. I told my wife, go on to bed. And I got afraid about it too. And I had to deal with that fear. But then I just began, I didn't know what to pray. How do I know? It's late at night. I don't know what's going on with my dad. I hadn't heard anything. So I just began to pray in my heavenly language and just did that for a while. And I did that, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes, an hour max. And I just prayed until inside of my spirit I knew, okay, thank God, whatever it is, we got it under control. How many of you know the Holy Spirit knows how to pray? If I was praying in English, I may never have gotten there because I didn't even know what was going on. But the Holy Spirit knew. The next day, I called over, talked to my mom. I said, hey, what's going on with Dad? How's he doing? She said, well, you know, he just went to the doctor, and they put him on the treadmill to test his heart out and everything, and everything came back fine. Everything's okay. Well, okay. Then I wondered, why was I praying last night then, if everything was okay? Well, a few days later, she called and said, hey, listen, somehow, your dad's doctor doesn't know how, but somehow a specialist got a hold of his test results, and he said, something doesn't seem right with this. And once your dad to go back in for some more tests, they went in and found out that there were about 5 major arteries that were almost completely clogged. This specialist said, sir, you're a walking time bomb. You could go at any time. And I mean, just in a few days, he's scheduled for surgery and has this 5-way bypass. 55 years old. You just wouldn't expect it. 55 years old. You wouldn't expect it. And his doctor doesn't know how this specialist even got a hold of the report. I do. I've got a good idea about it. How many of you know doctors make mistakes too? Do you understand? Let me tell you, the power of the Holy Spirit is to help people and to save people, to save their lives. And thank God that was, how many years ago? 14 years ago? And we've still got him here with us. Thank God. Thank God. But see, that's just part of the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what God wants for us. But we need to receive his power and open ourselves up to say, okay, Lord, I will allow you to move through my life with your power by initiating the receiving of the Holy Spirit. Let's all stand right now and do that. Can we? Come on, let's open our hearts to him right now. Honey, come up with me. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. It doesn't matter whether you've been filled with the Spirit before. The Word of God is clear and says, be filled. Be being filled constantly with the Holy Spirit. Would you open up your heart right now? In fact, why don't you just, as a sign of open to him, to receive from him, just stretch your hands to him right now and say, oh God, fill me with your Spirit. I want to be a recipient of your power, not just for me, but to help people. Lord, there are people that need to be saved and helped, and I want to be used by you. Jesus, I want to help you personally carry on your ministry, and I need the power of the Spirit to do it. Some of you need to right now say, Lord, I receive the forgiveness of sins. I haven't allowed myself to receive forgiveness. I haven't forgiven myself. But I now accept the blood of Jesus as forgiveness of my sins. And I declare that I will allow myself to receive all that you have based on that forgiveness for me. It's not because of me, it's because of Jesus. But I receive it now by faith and allow you to empower me further by the Holy Spirit to do what you want me to do. Thank God. Praise God. Praise God. Tell him out loud. Come on, church. Let's talk to him out loud. Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit today. Fill me with your Spirit today. Lord, we receive signs and wonders happening in this place. We receive the manifestation of the Spirit happening, not only here, Lord, but in our lives, wherever we are. We receive it today, Lord. We receive it today. Let's say this out loud. Say, in Jesus' name, I open my heart to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with all of his power. Lord my God, use me. Use me in powerful ways to touch people's lives. I thank you for your anointing. I thank you for what you want to do in my life. I am now open to what you are saying. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Honey, come up.
Yeah. You know, I came home last night late from a very exhausting trip, and I was not going to come to church. I was going to let my body rest. And right around 10:15, I had this urgency. I had to come. And the Lord gave me something specific. I wasn't sure what Jerry was teaching on, so I asked Vanessa, who met me, I said, what is Jerry taught on this weekend? And she said, the power of the Holy Spirit. And I said, okay, thank you, Lord. I know why I had to be here this morning. I want to read to you a charge that we've heard. If you've been raised in church, you've heard this. We all say, oh, good, that's so neat. But I want you to hear it with ears that say, the Lord is saying this to you right now. And before I read that, let me tell you, last year in August of whatever last year was, 2003, the Lord woke me up and he said, would you like to know anything about what I'm wanting to do with the body of Christ? Well, that caught my interest. I said, yes, sir. So I got my notebook and my Bible and I sat down, and the Lord began to show me the simplicity of this thing that he wants to do. And we all have a sense that God's up to something, but it's so simple we can miss it. What he wants to do is to raise up an army of people that will walk in the ministry of Jesus, not a staff, not a pastor, not the fivefold ministry that they do the powerful things. And you all come and sit and watch and think, wow, that's so neat.
That's right.
He's raising up people, and this is what he said, anyone who wills.
That's right.
Anyone who desires to walk in the power and the ministry of Jesus, he's saying, my spirit is being poured out.
Yes.
Because when you walk in the ministry of Jesus Christ, think about how many people are being reached. If staff walks in the ministry of Jesus, a handful is reached. If you, wherever you go on Monday, on Tuesday, and on Wednesday, are walking, not just with a story, but with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, what will happen?
Right. That's right.
And God is trying to raise up his people. It's not a hard thing. He's given us everything so that we can walk in that fullness. And I know what the Lord was saying this morning is you come and you give them the charge, not just as a nice little scripture, but anyone who wills to receive this charge, the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on you this morning so that you walk in a whole different level. And listen to this. You've heard it, but I want you to hear with ears of the Spirit, that ears that hear what the Lord is saying. Go into all the world. Go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, Jesus was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through accompanying signs. Listen. The church started out with people who were filled with the Holy Spirit, who were walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord was confirming the word that was preached. Yes. The Lord was confirming the gospel that was being preached with signs and wonders. And what Jerry said, we don't need a story. People are not looking for stories. People are desperate to see, is there a real God?
That's right.
And if you don't go out there with that power, who will? So I want you this morning, If you are saying, Lord, I don't want to stay where I'm at, because it's okay just to receive the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But the reason why he wants to fill you is so that he can flow through
That's
you.
Right.
And if you're tired and you're kind of just restless with where you're at and you're saying, Lord, I want to move in a greater fullness than I've ever moved in, then this is for you. And we're going to take some time to not just receive, but to begin to say, yes, Lord.
Yeah.
We're going to begin to answer to him. Any of you that feel discouraged, you're not at a place yet where God will use you. I want you to know that the greatest charge that was given to the disciples came immediately right after he rebuked them for their unbelief and hardness of heart.
Right.
We always read Mark chapter 16, starting with verse 15, where it says, go. But verse 14 says, he appeared to them and he rebuked their unbelief, their hardness of heart. And he said, all right, you've been rebuked. Now go and do this stuff, and I'm going to do powerful
right.
things through you. Some of you are waiting for that day of perfection when you get there, then God is going to use you. Because right now you have issues. You have a lot of issues. You have stuff you're working through. Some of you are dealing with sins and bondages, and you think, well, that's not for me. Jesus rebuked them, corrected them, and said, now go out.
That's
My
right.
power is with
That's
you.
Right.
If you this morning right. are ready to step out into a whole new level, I want you to raise your hands to the Lord.
Praise
this is not, you're
you.
Not saying
Thank
something
you.
To us as leaders. You're saying something to the Lord, but I can tell you this, you better be careful because he's going to take you up on it. He is going to take you up on it. He is going to raise you up to a whole new level. You're going to walk in a greater power and a greater anointing and a greater flow of the Holy Spirit. So go ahead and lift your hands and begin to say, Lord, I receive your charge this morning. We want to walk in the power of your
Spirit.
Oh, Lord, we want the fullness of your Spirit, not just for us, but so that we can go forth with power, so that we don't just go out with a story, but, Lord, so we can see the signs, the wonders, following and confirming. I thank you, Lord. We receive your charge this morning. If that's you, just tell the Lord, I receive your charge. I receive your mandate to go forth and preach, to lay hands on the sick in the name of Jesus. We receive it, Lord. We receive it, Lord. We thank you for filling us with your Spirit. We thank you for it. We thank you for it.
Oh, comforter,
oh, comforter and friend,
how we need
your touch again. Holy Spirit,
rain down, let your power fall. Your voice be heard.
Come and
we stand on your word, Holy Spirit,
rain down.
Come on, if you're asking the Lord, go ahead and let's sing that. Holy Spirit, rain on us.
Holy Spirit, rain.
Pray over you right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you. We're not doing this just to bring emotion, but Lord, we are accepting your charge to go into our world and to declare the gospel, for it's not your will that one, not that one would perish. And so we're receiving your charge to be your body that brings forth good news. I thank you, Lord, for men and women that will have the courage that when your spirit stirs them or places that sense to lay hands on somebody, maybe somebody that doesn't even know the Lord, that they will have the courage just to gently place their hands and say, can I pray for you? Jesus is the healer. I thank you, Lord, these eyes in this room will see healings take place. I thank you, Lord, for the words of encouragement that you're going to begin to pour out into your people so that they can go forth and even to that stranger in the grocery store, at the gasoline station, they can come not in spookiness or weirdness, but just to be able to say, God loves you, and here's the little word of encouragement he gave to me. Lord, cause us to be bold. Cause us to be bold. Ask the Lord right now to give you boldness to speak, boldness to act in what the Lord says. We need your boldness, Lord. Sometimes we're so timid, we're so afraid, we're so concerned about ourselves. But I ask you to fill us with your love for people, your love that overcomes fear, your love that drives us to get out of ourselves and stop being so self-focused, but your love that says, I must be about my Father's business. I must reach out. I must preach the gospel. I must lay hands on the sick. I must be in tune with the Spirit. I must allow Him to use me wherever I am. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. Now open our ears to hear what you're saying. Go ahead and ask Him. Open your ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, we declare we will not be hearers only. Let the Lord know you're not just going to hear Him, but you're going to do what He says.
Praise God.
We're not just hearers only, Lord. We're doers. And we thank you. We can stand strong in your grace. Strong in your grace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let me do something before we close. I went to Northern California with the team. We do conferences throughout the country. And this was one of those weeks where I felt the most discouraged. I hadn't battled discouragement like this in a long time in areas about my own self and just the plan of God in my life. And I walked in and I thought, Lord, I need you. I have to stand strong in your grace, because if it's up to me, I'm going to go on the prayer line myself. Do you know what I'm talking about? I need this week. And the Lord began to do some things in me. But what he showed me again, if we're just willing, he will use us. This was probably the most powerful conference we've had. We've had 7 of them across the United States. And I got back a stack that thick of testimonies. People were healed all over. There was a lady who had had for 5 years. 5 years. She wrote, migraine headaches, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as the body began to minister to each other, see, we didn't have a prayer line for them to come up. We didn't have the anointed people for them to come and receive healing. What I had them do is just, if you're sick in your body and you want somebody to pray for you, go ahead, lift your hands. And then those that were around them, go ahead and lay hands, because the Bible says lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. And this lady said, as somebody just laid their hand on me, she said, it felt like 1,000 angels were touching me and my body just was releasing all that pain. Now, that may not be a big deal to you, but if you've had a migraine headache for 5 years in a row, she was at a suicide point. Let me tell you, what we did here this morning is not just, oh, Jesus, use me. He's ready. He's been waiting. Right. He's been waiting to flow through you. Your neighbors are desperate.
Yes. For
you to give them the good news and then follow with signs and wonders. He will confirm it. It's not, you can't make it happen. But if you step out, he'll begin to confirm it. People at your work, some of you hate the place where you work. Well, how about you give them the good news and turn that place around? Some of you come to church and you're so concerned about you, but there are people sitting right around you that are desperate for you to flow in the things of the Spirit. For you to get a word of encouragement as you're walking out, just to turn around and say, you know, the Lord wants you to not grow weary because he's coming through for you. It's so simple. You don't have to, oh, now thou saith the Lord. If you're waiting for that, Lord, just the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he talks so much like we understand that we miss him. It's simple. But here's what I want us to do, because we are a room of believers empowered by the Spirit.
Right.
If you have sickness in your body this morning, I want you to raise your hand high. Raise it up real high. Okay, now people around you, people around those that have their hands lifted up, I want you to begin to do what the Holy Spirit said, and that's to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Just lay it right here on their shoulder. You don't have to do it hard. You don't have to press. You just gently lay your hands. Keep your hands up if you have sickness in your body. Just keep your hands up. And then you that are praying for them, just repeat this after me. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
As I've accepted the charge.
As I've accepted the charge.
To lay hands on the sick.
To lay hands on the sick.
I do so now.
I do so now.
And I thank you, Lord.
And I thank you,
that
Lord,
you confirm your word.
That you confirm your word.
That by the stripes of Jesus.
That by the stripes of Jesus.
My sister, my brother.
My sister, my brother.
Are healed.
Are healed.
I lay hands.
I laid hands.
And I thank you for recovery.
And I thank you for recovery.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. So Lord, we thank you.
Thank
we
you,
thank
Lord,
you. We're being obedient to what you said.
Thank you.
I thank you that as people have stepped and said, yes, I lay hands on you. I thank you that bodies are being strengthened, renewed, restored in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, you are in this place to confirm your word with the signs and wonders. We're not just telling a good story, Lord. You are here to confirm your word, which is living and powerful. And so I thank you. I thank you that today is the beginning of the greatest days we've seen. I thank you, Lord, for a body that's going to move all the time in the easiness and the simple flow and power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
We thank you. We thank you. Now you be ready. Be ready. If you continue in that attitude, you will have one of the most exciting, adventurous weeks you will have ever had in your entire life. God is good and he's ready to use you. He is ready to explode through you.
Thank God. Thank God. How many of you will believe God with me that by the end of this series, we're going to be flowing in these things? Is that right? Thank God. Yes. And I'll tell you this too, I've got a hunch inside of me that we're going to track through this series on the weekend services, but some of the practical side of it is going to start happening on the Wednesday night services, where we're going to get into some practical things and actually flow together in sort of a practicum of allowing God to do things through us. So I don't know when that's exactly going to happen, but just be around. You know, if you're not in the right place at the right time, you don't get the right thing. But if you hang around, so do whatever you need to do to be around and to begin to receive these things that the Holy Spirit is doing through us. Isn't it exciting, really? It is, because this is beyond some human manipulation. I can share and teach these things. Kimberly can proclaim the things that the Lord says. But it takes God to do the manifestation. Come on, there's no phony baloney. Either God does it or He doesn't, right? And so those of you that haven't received your spiritual language yet, don't let the guilt come and the thought, well, I guess I'm not good enough, or I guess that's not for me, or I don't measure up. Get that out of your mind. That always comes to everybody, but it's not true for me, and it's not true for you. It belongs to you, and if you haven't received it yet, it's just because you haven't received it yet. But it's not because God's going to withhold it from you. If you receive Jesus as Lord and open your heart to the Holy Spirit, you will get your spiritual language. Just be open to it. The biggest problem is in our minds, worrying about it, trying to figure out how it's going to happen. If we can get rid of all that stuff and just begin to bless God and say, Lord, I receive it. If you open your mouth and start praising God out loud, uninhibited, that's the time I've noticed people just receive it. But if you can't even bless God out loud in English, it's hard for you to do it in a language you've never spoken before. You understand? If the mind cuts the English off, certainly it's going to cut off something you've never spoken. And so I've just seen it happen so much, but don't be concerned about it. It belongs to you. You'll get it. Don't worry. You don't need to kick yourself. You're going to receive all that God has. Yes. Kimberly said, can we end with just a thanksgiving to the Lord for what He's doing? Come on, lift your voice. Lord, we thank You, God. We bless You, Lord. We give You thanks. We appreciate Your power. We appreciate Your instruction, Your correction, Lord.